This is a CBC podcast.
CPA 21, how do you read?
I really want to know what happened, and it makes me extraordinarily angry that it's always been a big secret.
Uncover Bomb on Board, investigating the biggest unsolved mass murder in Canada, CP Flight 21.
Get the Uncover podcast for free on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts.
Available now.
MPs are back in Ottawa next week, the final session of the House before Canadians head to the polls this fall. That suggests we should expect more heated rhetoric, perhaps even some moments of real drama as the parties position themselves for the election. It will unfold on a new stage. With Centre Bloc closed for at least a decade for renovations, question period will be held in the newly upgraded West Bloc. To get a sense of what this final push will look like, we've reconvened our two politicos who spent years advising governments and opposition parties. Jamie Watt is the executive chairman of Navigator Limited, and David Hurley is a principal partner at the Gandalf Group and the host of the Hurley Burley podcast. Welcome back to the House, guys.
Great to be here. Thanks.
All right, I'll start with you, David. This is the last session we expect before the election. So if you're in government, what do you need to do?
Well, you need to take advantage of being the government, and it's a huge advantage heading into an election year because you have the capacity more than anybody else to set the agenda for what the election is about. You get to load up the policy agenda, and you get to set the terms of the debate if you do that well. So that's what I imagine they will be doing, is setting up for the campaign.
Jamie?
Yeah, part of what they have to do is they have to show that they've got renewed energy and a reason to be returned. So I think things like focusing on fundraising, attracting exciting candidates, hopefully for them, beating Jagmeet in his by-election. They need some things to show they've got momentum and that there's a reason for Canadians to return them to power, apart from, of course, the policy priorities they'll have.
Just one more thing on the governing party's position here. They have a record now to run on. This is only their first term. They're looking for a second. So it's a different kind of campaign when you're looking for re-election. So tell me this, and David, I go back to you for this first. You look at some of the major promises that have yet to be finished. Infrastructure projects are perhaps moving more slowly than thought. There's still some bills around new restrictions on gun ownership. You know, what are the things that, if you look back to a campaign that most likely will be an issue for this government?
I think that you really need to get back to those issues are sideshows to the real things that people are concerned about. And I think that this government was elected on a clear promise to improve the standards of living of working and middle-class people. And that is the policy agenda they need to get back to. That is what people are most focused on. They had huge progress on that in the first year with the child benefit and with the income tax cuts for the middle class. I've seen less emphasis on that agenda since then. That may well be where an issue like PharmaCare emerges as a major middle-class entitlement program.
All right, let me turn to you, Jamie, with the opposition, starting with the Conservatives, who are the official opposition. As you prepare for a session that's going into election campaign, what do you place as your priority? Is it setting yourselves as the alternative, or is it to continue, for example, to criticize the agenda of the government?
Well, I think you actually have to do both, right? You've got to play defense and offense at the same time, and they've got to kick the crap out of the government for sure, and they've got to demonstrate to the Canadian people that the government's not worthy of being returned to office for another 5 years. And at the same time, they've got to show that they're actually on the side of hardworking Canadians and that they've got their interests at heart. And I think that's Mr. Scheer's opportunity, and I think it's his challenge as he gets out in front of the kinds of issues, and to David's point, shows that maybe that the government hasn't delivered for those in the middle class and aspiring, as the government says, and those aspiring to join it. So that'll be his focus, and it should be his resolute focus if he's going to be successful.
I think, you know, they face a real challenge, and I think this Bernier thing is becoming more difficult for
100%
them than I had anticipated, perhaps at the beginning. And you know, a lot of the energy and the heat that's coming at the Trudeau government is coming from a fairly marginalized group of people that are angry at things like immigration and angry at things like the UN pact on migration, et cetera. And you know, Scheer needs those votes. But he also needs more votes from the center. He needs more moderate votes than he's getting to get past Trudeau. And Bernier is keeping his feet to the fire on that marginal side of the conservative base that is going to, I think, really make it difficult for Scheer to have an offering that looks mainstream and reasonable to the moderates he's trying to get, but keeps that base within his tent and not with Bernier.
You know, David, you and I have talked about this before, and on this point we agree. At first, Bernier didn't look like he was going to be anything more than just sort of a little speed bump along the way. I actually think now that he may be much more of a problem, and in particular for the reason that David expressed. I think it also gives the Prime Minister a terrific opportunity, which is to articulate the case for his re-election. You know, there's an old canard that says governments aren't... or defeat themselves. I actually don't
use that all the time. What do you mean it's a canard?
it is a canard because what they do is they're hired to do a job. And when that job description is complete, then the electorate moves on to someone else. Attlee, you know, at Churchill after the war. And their job is to articulate a new job description and to say, here's why we need to come back. And I think if Scheer gets marginalized by dealing with Bernier on that side, Trudeau has a great opportunity to attract those swing voters that he needs in order to come back. And I think if you look at the electoral map, which is not my expertise, you're sure he'll lose a few seats here, he'll lose a few seats there. But the fact that the NDP is on life support, I don't even know if it is life support, but whatever they're on, Trudeau's going to pick up those seats in Quebec, and it's going to make the math in his favor.
I want to pick up on the NDP and the Greens because, you know, certainly provincially in Prince Edward Island, even in Ontario and New Brunswick, they're making some inroads, and obviously we know about BC. So, David, you know, the New Democrats, Jagmeet Singh is in a by-election. He needs to find a seat, I would expect, to get him into the House. What's your sense? If you are the NDP and you also face some challenges from the Greens in key ridings in British Columbia, for example, what is the goal for those two parties?
I think the NDP are going to be decimated in the election campaign. I think that they're going to disappear in the province of Quebec, and I think they're going to badly, badly struggle under his leadership elsewhere. And so I don't actually think that I could give the NDP any advice at all other than they don't have the right person at the top to be competitive in this election campaign.
But it's a little late, Jamie, you know, to try and change the leadership. And
hey, Doug Ford.
Well, different. He had a party that was an official opposition and a platform, which I know he didn't necessarily follow to the T, but they were in a better position than perhaps the NDP might be as a third party.
Well, I think, you know, the NDP is in a very, very, very challenging place. I mean, people focus on this by-election with Mr. Singh and whatever. But at the end of the day, that's merely representative of the problems that they face. It is not the definition of the problems they face. It's exemplary of the problems that they face across the entire country. I agree with David. I think they're in a really, really, really tough spot.
And the Greens, because I think they, like Maxime Bernier, have a chance here to make a difference, even if it's just changing perhaps some of the conversation, if the issues are going to be around carbon taxes, the TMX pipeline, and continued support for the oil and gas sector.
Well, I would watch the Greens. In fact, I wouldn't be astonished if the Greens did as well or better than the NDP in this election campaign. It's not just an environmental vote. If you look at it across the country, it's also emerging as a protest alternative vote. And we're seeing alternatives to the existing parties pop up everywhere, whether it was the provincial election in Quebec, whether it was the provincial election in New Brunswick. And now you have the Greens competitive to win the election in Prince Edward Island. That's not an environmental vote. That's a pox on traditional parties vote. And the combination of the environmental vote and that protest vote could be quite potent for the Greens. I think they're in the best position they've been in ever in a federal election campaign.
Yeah, I think that said, the challenge, of course, is that we don't have a lot of experience with these kinds of parties actually making a difference, right? When we try and make predictions about the future, they're often based on our experiences in the past. And we just don't have that experience. So to sort of figure out where this is going is a very difficult thing.
All right. Come back for our last questions here around the actual session. Both of you, I know you're not following the legislative agenda perhaps in a minute detail, but if there's one thing that you're looking for out of this session, what would it be? Jamie?
Well, I think the government is going to have to watch out on the issue of border security and immigration, because I think it's something where their instincts may be out of step with the changes in the Canadian point of view. And if Scheer is clever, that might be an opportunity for him to get some, to have some, you know, to cleave off some support there. So if I were the government, I would be worrying about, on a defensive basis, that. And on an offensive basis, I would be focusing on strengthening the economy and delivering results for the middle class.
In a budget, then, for example.
Yes, for sure.
Okay.
I think the most important thing for the government, is the rollout of the carbon pricing rebate. If they are to have any chance of fighting the carbon pricing issue to a draw in the federal election, they have got to convince people that they have left them no worse off than they were before. People have to believe in the rebate. They've got to believe the rebate's equivalent to what they would be paying in the tax. And the rollout of that is, I think, going to be quite determinative of how the campaign goes.
You know, you said something, just if I could, that's an interesting, because nobody seems to want to sell the tax on the price on the virtues of protecting the environment. They want to sell it on the basis of a pocketbook issue.
Well, because there's no evidence that you can find all kinds of surveys that show that Canadians are highly concerned about climate change. And indeed, they are becoming more concerned about climate change than they were. I have still seen no evidence, either in polls or in election results, that people are prepared to sacrifice any standard of living to fight climate change. And so you cannot sell the carbon tax as a climate change fighting thing on its own and tell people they've got to pay the cost of it. So that's why the rebate is the only way this thing can be sold.
And remember, from a political point of view, the public opinion marketplace has changed. You know, when this debate took place, when Prime Minister Trudeau first came to power, he faced a series of premiers across the country who were essentially at Eden with him. And now that's a very, very different proposition. So he's got political actors, he's got antagonists who are out there driving a very different message. And they've got a lot of tools to drive that message.
All right. I got to leave it there, you two. Jamie Watt, Executive Chairman of Navigator Limited, and David Hurley, Principal Partner at the Gandalf Group and host of the Hurley Burley Podcast. Good to talk to you as always. Thanks.
Great for having us on. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.